And now, today's word.
In Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 to 3, Jesus described natural faith. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." Now, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, you are able to have faith in what will happen based on natural observance. It's what I call natural faith. Natural faith is faith we have naturally, based on natural observation, based on looking at how life is and having confidence in the natural system. By our natural faith, that if you put your car key into your car's ignition keyhole and you turn on the ignition, the car will start. That's natural faith. You believe that when you turn your steer right, the car will move right. How do you know it will move right? Because you know according to the laws that govern the car, go right. That's natural faith. By natural faith, you came to church today and you sat on a chair without examining the chair because you believed in the chair. That's natural faith. Jesus told the Pharisees of his days, you have natural faith in the weather. If the weatherman comes and says, it's going to rain today at 5 o'clock, all things being equal, you will prepare for rain at 5 o'clock. Why? Because you have faith in him. Now, is that spiritual faith? No, it's natural faith. It's natural faith. And everybody has natural faith. As a matter of fact, all human beings operate on natural faith. So natural faith is when you believe in nature and the natural system that things will go according to how they're expected to go. That's natural faith. And everybody has it. Everybody's using it today. But beyond natural faith, there is a second level of faith that we must have. It's what I call saving faith. Saving faith. Natural faith gives us confidence in life. Saving faith leads us to salvation. That's what makes us born again. Romans 10, 8 to 13. What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Saving faith is when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Saving faith makes us children of God. Saving faith qualifies us from heaven. Saving faith opens our eyes to spiritual things. So, natural faith will give you confidence in life. And it's great to have confidence in life. There are people with tons of natural faith. Great entrepreneurs with great natural faith. But no spiritual faith, no saving faith, because they haven't put their faith in Christ Jesus. Believing that Jesus died for you, he rose on the cross from the grave for you, gives you what is called saving faith. If you are born again, you are saved. And that salvation did not come from your own works. It came because you believed in what Jesus has done. So there is natural faith and there is saving faith. But the Christian life is not just about salvation and getting born again. So there's another level of faith you must have. It's what I call active faith. Active faith enables us to experience God's power. So you believe Jesus died for you, you are saved. But that doesn't mean that you experience God's power. There are people who are saved who never experience God's power in their lives. In Mark chapter 5, and I'll just read verse 34. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." This is the woman with the issue of blood who touched Jesus. Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Now, this faith didn't make her born again, but it healed her body. It's what I call active faith. For the rest of our lives as Christians, we need our faith to be active so that we can touch the power of Jesus, we can touch the power of God and receive miracles from him, receive favor from him, receive wisdom from him, receive our daily bread from him, receive direction from him. Active faith, active faith. So there's natural faith, gives us confidence. Saving faith gives us salvation. Active faith helps us experience the power of God. Then there is the last one, overcoming faith. Overcoming faith empowers us to live victoriously. Because living the Christian life is not just about salvation and experiencing supernatural miracles. It is also about overcoming temptations, overcoming adversity, overcoming persecution, overcoming attacks of the enemy. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Overcoming faith. This is faith that helps you to overcome adversity, overcome temptation, overcome attacks of the enemy. So every human being starts with natural faith. It gives you confidence, but you must have saving faith. You must be saved. You must be born again. After saving faith, your faith must be active. You must continuously experience the power of God. And number four, you must have overcoming faith. Your faith must overcome. So, what are the steps to take to grow our faith? I'm going to go through this quickly. Four steps. In order to grow your faith, the first thing you have to do is stand on your own faith. Stand on your own faith. Believe God for yourself. You can't grow your faith while depending on another person's faith. You can't grow your faith that way. You can't grow your faith by depending on my faith. If everything you expect in life is based on what pastor is saying and what pastor has told you, then you're not dependent on your own faith. And if you're not dependent on your own faith, you can't grow your faith. So the first level to growing your faith is you must stand on your own faith. And this is very important to me because, you know, when I was growing up as a Christian, there were no powerful men of God, so to speak. The biggest churches were probably about 100 or 200 people in attendance. My church, which I used to attend, which I thought was a very big church, I went there about not a few years ago, maybe about 15 years ago, went back to that church because there was a funeral there and I attended the church. And I went to see the church that I thought was a big church. And I looked at the church, so I asked the current pastor, I said, is this the original church? He says, yeah. They've now built a bigger church. He says, yeah, that's it. I said, this is the place. He said, yeah. I looked at the place, it can take probably about 80 people or 100 people. But I saw that as a big church. It was full. There was a crowd. Those days, there were no major men of God and major powerful, and nobody called themselves prophets. Everybody called themselves brother and sister, brother so-and-so and brother, sister so-and-so. We're all brothers and sisters. Then, you know, we became pastors, which is not bad. And then people felt that, you know, we have to go beyond that. So now, you know, preachers, pastors have become superheroes for the congregation. And people go to church not on their own faith, but believing in a man of God. You cannot grow your faith by just believing in a man of God. It's good to admire a man, appreciate his ministry, love his ministry, but your faith must stand on its own. It's not what Mensa Otabel can do for you, it's what God can do for you when you trust him. Because when you are in trouble in your house at midnight, you're not going to call upon me. If you call on me, my phone will be off. And even if my phone is not off, I won't listen. I won't answer. I'll say, who is this bothering me at 2 a.m.? And even if I want to listen, I may be too deep in sleep. There's a certain level of sleep that phone noise doesn't interrupt. You just get to that zone, nothing bothers you. So when the enemy attacks you at 2 a.m., at 1 a.m., or you are on the road and something is going on in your life, what are you going to do? Are you going to call on me? You have to be able to stand and say, in the name of Jesus, and pray about that situation. You must stand on your own faith. Not the faith of a man of God. The job of a man of God is to equip you to stand on your own faith. It's not to make you climb up on your faith and go along. We all start our Christian life depending on other people's faith. When I was growing up, my faith was in my mother's faith. Mother was a great Christian. And when my mother said something, I believed it. When I went to school and I didn't have money for school fees and I was sacked home, and I come and tell my mother and says, Nyami Bechere, God will do it. That's it. I don't worry about it again. As far as she says God will do it, I know that God will do it. And somehow, some way, God does it. There is no food in the house. I come, he says, oh, Nyami Bechere, obey ye. God will do it. It will be well. And God does it, and it's well. And as far as I knew, if I had a problem, I don't talk to God. Talk to my mother and relax. So my faith was in her faith. And I realized a lot of Christians, their faith is in another person's faith. So when they need something from God, instead of talking to God, they talk to somebody. They talk to a prophet, they talk to an apostle, they talk to a bishop, they talk to a pastor, they talk to somebody else. And when you do that, you never grow your faith. As a matter of fact, your measure of faith will diminish to the point where you have no faith. You have no faith. So when you are in trouble, you find you don't know whether to say, Our Father who art in heaven, or to say Psalm 23, or to recite the Apostles' Creed. Because people get into trouble and they don't know what to do. And probably they'll just pick a church devotional and just wave it and say, God, you know, please answer me. God is not going to answer you because you hold ICGCG devotional. God won't answer you because you put the Bible under your pillow. You're not going to receive a miracle because you have my picture in your home. It's not going to increase your faith. You have to stand on your own. You have to say, I'm going to pray about it by myself. There are some things about you that you don't need to tell anybody except God. You have to say, this is what I'm believing God by myself. You have to stand on your own faith. If you don't do that, you will never grow in faith. You'll be a baby Christian for life. Your faith level will be low for life. You will never have a direct testimony to share of how God proved himself faithful on your behalf. Your own faith. But when I started learning on faith, I had to stand on my own faith. I used to pray for crazy things. Pray for crazy things. You know, pressing, I'm ironing, and the iron blows. Common sense says, it has blown. Look for an electrician. No, I don't believe in looking for an electrician. I lay hands on the iron. Oh, yeah, and I got the iron working. After the smoke, it has blown. I lay hands on it, and it starts working. Now, when you see those things in your life, nobody can tell you God does not answer prayer because you've seen blown, pressing iron working. There was no water flowing in our home. We were living in a tall flat. And you know, it was normal. We just have to go down, fetch water and climb up 4 stories up, go down, fetch. It's normal. But one day, I was going to work something just struck me. Why? It's too much work. I laid hands on the tap. You know, there is some level of faith where your mind doesn't work again. You believe with God all things are possible. Lay hands on the tap. And I commanded water to flow out of it and went to work. Came back in the evening, water was flowing. Now, I am not one of those people who just see that and say it's a miracle. I say, I have to verify. Is there water flowing everywhere? So we're on the fourth floor. There are two flats. So I go to the other opposite flat of us. And I ask, is water flowing? They said, no. I go to the lower flat. Is water flowing? No. Go to the lower flat. Water flowing? No. Go to the first floor. Water flowing? No. But water is flowing on our flat. Now, when you have seen that, and God tells you to build a university, don't you think you can believe God to build a university? Because you have seen Him. You've experienced Him. But if all you do is everything you go and tell a man of God, everything you tell a man of God, everything you tell, then when God speaks to you, you can't believe Him because your faith has reduced. If you want to grow your faith, you stand on your own spiritual feet. Stand on your own feet. Believe God for yourself. Experience a testimony that you can say, this is God. This is what God has done for me. And later on, that same faith will grow to attempt not just pressing iron working, but to do some fabulous things for God. But you have to start with standing on your own feet.